The title of this message is called A Little Wake-Up Call. A Little Wake-Up Call. You just throw it away. And if you would, go to James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4, and I want to prep this. I have been going through, you know, the pastors always get to, you always get to see everything in our lives, right? I've been going through the last couple of months. And I can't even explain but inside, it's like, it feels like God has been doing a Roto-Rooter inside of me.
Yes.
And in this is this sense of upheaval. And sometimes I just break down and cry. When I'm reading, I'm just weeping. And not any particular reason that I'm aware of. And there's a sense of just feeling kind of numb. And then there's this, all these things are going on inside of me kind of all the time now, the last couple of months. And I have been sharing this with Rosie. I don't know what's going on. I've been asking the Lord, what is going on? What is going on? And today I got my answer from the Lord. And I will share that with you at the end of this message. James chapter 4, again, this is called A Little Wake-Up Call. We're going to start back on our series after Easter. James chapter 4, verse 14. Now, James is speaking to every one of us. And he says, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James is saying very specifically, in the span of eternity, and I mean really when we look at eternity, if we live to 150, it's a few seconds. That's it. I mean, that is it. And what we do is we typically, and I'm going to talk about just us grace people. You know, if I use a cliche here, we're under grace and we know the benefits that God has already given us, already provided for us. And by faith, we take a hold of those. Romans 5 verse 2, we access or take hold of and receive those benefits of all the promises of God into our life by faith because they're already here, right? Prosperity and healing and deliverance and great favor, protection and all these things. We do this and we have so much. We are wealthy beyond belief. And we get a little myopic about this. Now that means to be short-sighted. We're only looking at here and now and today and oh my gosh, and kind of feeling like this is forever. It's not really. It's temporary. And God doesn't want us to be short-sighted, even though He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. Every blessing that He has promised is ours. But He doesn't want us to focus on that. Our lives are brief. Long or short, they're brief. The reason I had a hard week is because I did a funeral on Thursday evening for a young man who died last Saturday. 36 years old. Had a fiance, kids, prime of his life. I met him. I'm going to give you a little introduction. I met him about a month ago. We needed a little work done in our house. So I called his company and I said, I need somebody to come look at this. And he came over and he looked at the issues and we're working through a bid. And he had to come back, take care of a couple other things and before I could get the final bid. And when he came in, he sat down, he pulled up the bar stool at our counter, our kitchen counter, and he sat and he talked with me about his life. I just met him. And he talked for 2 hours about his heart, about his struggles, about the addictions that he had been in, about his hopes, his dreams, everything that he was trying to do and preparing to do, working so hard at. And I was interjecting Jesus as much as I could through this because he wasn't there in what I could hear and what he shared with me. And I got to tell you, I just liked him from the get-go. And I kept listening to the Lord. What would you have me do? And he said, just listen. So this, again, this went on for about 2 hours. I said, you've got to have him. You can't make it through this life without Jesus. And he kind of shrugged his shoulders and I said, would you please consider Jesus as being your Lord, being your Savior? I said, he'll shoulder this with you. And again, he wasn't quite sure because on his mind were all these jobs that were piling up while he and I were talking. And so I told him, I said, you know, he wasn't sure that Jesus was real. Now, most of you know how I got born again on an old Harley riding around the country. And I said, God, if you're real, prove it. I'll let you in my heart. And so I shared that with him. I said, can I pray for you? And he said, sure. So he took off his hat, his work hat, and he closed his eyes and bowed his head. I put my hand on his shoulder and I prayed for him, first for peace, so that he could hear. I mean, he could really hear. And then that Jesus would introduce himself to him the way that he did with me. He and I spoke on the phone a couple of times after that. We were going to meet for coffee, and I wanted to be able to just talk to him more about the Lord. And it didn't work out. And then I got a call Monday. He was dead. And then they asked me to do his funeral. I'd only just met him. He told all kinds of people about what he and I spoke about. And what they told me was that the biggest thing that spoke to him was I didn't judge him. I was the only pastor that he had ever been able to speak to like this. And I thought, how sad that people feel like they can't talk to us when we're Christians or pastors. Because it's pretty typical. I got to do the funeral, and it was a real honor. There were about 300 there. It was a big family, lots of friends. And almost all of them did not know the Lord. So God gave me an opportunity to plant seed, to speak about Jesus, to speak about our hope, our confidence, to be able to say to people, this is what you've got to have. Now in my heart, I firmly believe that Jesus, somewhere before this young man's last breath, introduced himself to him. But his life was gone like that. Somewhere along the line, I believe that happened. We had a God set up, he and I. So today, again, this is not so much line teaching. I just want to talk to you about, again, a little wake-up call. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack. I'm reading New King James. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Slack in the Greek means slow. God isn't slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but is long-suffering and patient toward us, not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's heart and God's will that every single human being know him, to know who he is, to know his love, to know his care, to know his tenderness, to know his sacrifice, to know what he did and has provided for us. It's God's heart for every person. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38. Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38. Jesus said to his disciples, his followers, through the ages, the harvest he's speaking about, souls, people, reaching them, is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The knowledge of God in our country is less and less and less and less. And you all know it, just like I do. This is not news. The knowledge of right and wrong, good and bad, and the difference between the two is getting so blended that it's unrecognizable. People are ignorant of the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Our state is the same way, as a microcosm of what is happening in our country. Our state, Michigan, is going along, if you've been reading the news at all, the same path as Illinois and New York and California. Our state, the one we live in, we're on the forefront of this move. And what's driving our state is Southeast Michigan, where we live. This is it. Southeast Michigan makes the decision for the rest of the state about where we're going to be in our culture. the knowledge of God's love and Jesus' sacrifice is disappearing more and more and more. The harvest is there and crying out. Like this young man. He really wanted somebody to listen to him. Somebody to care and hear and speak to what he needed to hear in his heart. That's what he was looking for. And so are so many more. In our little town where we live in, the principal of the elementary school decided himself that the school had to have an assembly. And they have assemblies pretty regularly. And that all the school needed to hear, all the children needed to hear read to them a book titled, I Am Jazz. Now this book is about a transgender individual. And the book, very innocently presented, says everybody's just different and everybody needs to be tolerated and accepted. Now, not if you're Christian, you're excluded. Now I'm being a little facetious here. It is because we understand the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. Hopefully. And what's God and what's not, and what it means to be rescued from this world. This book, I Am Jazz, very innocently, he said, this is where the article came out, it's about presenting people, everybody is okay, wherever you are, whatever you believe, whatever you do. And this individual, Jazz, is a real person who was born a boy and is now a girl and is presented to little kids. I was just born in a boy's body with the mind of a girl. And it's okay. It's the coloring of our society based on whatever you feel is right, is right. The knowledge of God, right and wrong, good and bad, righteousness, unrighteousness, is disappearing. The only thing that is going to change our country is not, I mean, I'm a big believer in voting and voting for the moral person. But I guarantee you it's not going to change things because people are still people without the gospel. People will not change being people without the gospel of Jesus Christ. Period. The harvest is huge, and the laborers are few. It's a wake-up call. All too often, we get so self-centered on our own issues, or maybe what's going on in our own church or our own families or lives. And it's the picture's bigger than this, and it should be for every Christian. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and I'll just paraphrase it, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to salvation for everybody that believes. In this time, in our culture, in our country, and in our state, and in our Southeast Michigan area, there's a lot of people that are ashamed of the gospel. Ashamed of being sided with God. Ashamed of being sided with, really, righteousness. And yet, the gospel is the thing that saved us all. Jesus got through to us through the gospel. The harvest out there is huge, but the laborers are few. We have got so much to be excited about, so much to be able to share. And this is life-saving stuff. This isn't just kind of a feel-good. This is real, down-to-earth, life-saving. It takes the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14. I want to read this. And 15. Let's make it 14 through 16. Paul wrote to the church, and we are the church. He said, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Now, you know, I love that scripture because he always leads us in triumph. Man, it feels good. We know it. It's a truth. It's right, right? And we see it. We see the victories and the victories and the victories and the victories that are paid for us. And we always have it, and we can expect it. But then he says, "And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Now, there is a willingness to allow what we know of God, what we know of Jesus, what we know of the gospel, whether you're fresh in the kingdom of God or whether you've been here for a long time, there's a choice we make to be able to live, to share, to show, to demonstrate the power of God through salvation in our lives individually. God brings appointments to us, all of us, all the time. All the time. I'm not talking about hammering somebody until they want to run away. But I'm talking about our life, our stands, our love, our care. How we reach them, how sensitive we are to them. I was, when I got born again, I was really rough. I'm still smoking pot and drinking a lot. I came out of a lot of addictions. And I had, and this is in Vegas, I had Mexican spiritual parents who took me in. And they loved me and encouraged me and told me the truth and didn't condemn me and kept telling me the truth and kept telling me the truth and didn't condemn me and loved me when I was really unlovable. And they reached my heart with the gospel. It takes the willingness to do this, to make a difference in somebody's life. You ever wonder if you're making a difference? I mean, am I the only one? Anybody else wonder? Can you raise your hands? I'm glad I'm not alone. Praise God. Because this is what should be in our hearts. You know, we have miracles and healings and, I mean, financial breakthroughs. We have them here weekly and through the week. We pray for people all the time and we teach people how to live this out and how to live this life in God's grace. And it is awesome. But I don't want to minimize that. To make a difference in somebody's life forever. For eternity. There's nothing that compares. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to life, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. What kind of aroma does our life have to this world around us? This is preaching the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does it have any smell at all? This is not to be condemning. This is a little wake-up call. Because this is what the Lord's given us. It's not all about us. It just isn't. You know, and this is the way I look at it. I like the symphony. I like the ballet. I like the arts. Now it's kind of weird for somebody that was a biker for so many years. Right? But I do. I enjoy them. And God takes us through this process when we get born again. And like a symphony, if you've ever heard a symphony tuning up, it's awful. It's horrible. It makes your ears hurt. But then they begin to play when the conductor gets up, and they play and it's harmonious and beautiful and inspiring. That's our lives. We come in and it's rough. I don't care where you've come from. Good, bad, or indifferent. And you're in the tuning up stage, all of us. And then our life becomes a symphony. It's Jesus' symphony to the world. That's what we are. If we'll let him play through us. We affect people. And I got reminded of this again this week because of the people that came and spoke to me who knew that this young man went and spoke to so many people about the two-hour talk we had. Who knew? You have the same impact on people that you are around every single day. All of us do. It's important that we remember this. I want to jump back in Corinthians here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. Paul writes, "For though I am free from all men," he's speaking about men and women, "I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more." This is the attitude that we have, that we carry. This is Jesus. "And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law." And I have to tell you this. When we think about the liberty that we have under grace, being free from the law and the constriction and the obligation and the requirements of the law in order to be right with God, and we know that by faith in Jesus Christ, we've been set free from this, we have to be careful of developing a mentality, a way of thinking that says, "I'm different, I'm special, I'm right because I got it." You legalists, you religious people, I want nothing to do with you. You're off. Get out of here. I want no part of you in my life. Paul said, "I become like you in order to reach you." He can relate. This is the problem that we have as Christians. and let's just say under grace, we don't necessarily relate well with other people not of the same mindset, not of the same understanding, not of the same doctrine. It is imperative that we do. Paul says, verse 21, not to those who are without law, this is relating to and being sensitive to them, to those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. Paraphrase. Those that don't know squat about the Lord. Those that live like the devil. Those that don't know anything. They might be moral, they might not be. But I become like them, not doing the same things that they do, living as under a law towards Jesus, knowing what righteousness is. Not doing what they do, but relating to them where they are. The harvest is great, and the laborers are few, and we need not only a wake-up call, but instruction. Reminders. He said, verse 22, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. All too often, and it's really unfortunate, because this is human, carnal nature. This is not God. We spend time judging those who are weak, and we automatically set ourselves above them when we do that. And we all of a sudden have developed a log hanging in our eyeball. That's what happens. He said, I have become all things to all people that I might by all means save, reach with the gospel. Whoever would believe. I told you I'd share with you what the Lord finally showed me. It took a while to hear this. But why I've been crying and all these different feelings coming up in me for the last 2 months. And here's what it is. I've been recognizing how incredibly important. And I love the Lord. I spend time with the Lord every day. I spend a lot of time in the Word. I study. Da 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 da. But I've been falling in love with Jesus far more. And I've been grieving in a way that I have not ever done. For 2 months now, grieving those that don't know Him. And I don't know how to tell you this, but the heart of Jesus feels like it's been transplanted in me, because I haven't had it like this. I want to reach the lost, but gosh, I got life to take care of, I'm married, I got the house to take care of, I got the church to take care of, I got counseling to do, I got study to do, I got, you know, the building needs work, and, you know, on and on and on. I, just like everybody else, there are things that crowd into my mind. God's been giving me a heart transplant. And that's what I believe has to happen for all of us, is a heart transplant. Or people. Yeah, there are some out there that just annoy the snot out of us. Yeah, they're difficult to be around. But can I say this? Almost everybody needs to know somebody cares about them. That's what does this. That care really is the love of God. It really is Jesus in you, in me. the harvest is great, and the laborers are few. Will we be one? Will we be a laborer? Will we allow this heart transplant to take place? I had no idea that I needed this. I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Reaching those that do not know is what we're all supposed to do. It is a priority in our lives. It really is. This is a really, in God's sight, this is a non-negotiable. But we all have a choice. This is His heart for the world. This is, around us. Can we reach Southeast Michigan? Can Southeast Michigan change, or can it just going to get worse? Southeast Michigan can change. It won't be so much by the vote. It'll be by the gospel. I want to share with you from my own personal motivation, what motivates me in this. If you want to, go to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40. David wrote this, King David. Verse 1. He writes, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. What he's saying here in the Hebrew is, I was crying for help and expecting help from God. And He heard me. Verse 2, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. God rescued me out of miry clay. Now, in the Hebrew, this means destruction. My own destruction. The destruction that I was bringing on my life. Like miry clay. Our house has clay all around it. And when it gets rainy, man, you can step in this stuff and it can pull your shoes off. Stuck where you are. He pulled me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock. And in this picture of the rock is a place that is something that is so secure and so solid and so unshakable, immovable, that that's where He placed me. And that's what happened when we got born again. And He established my steps. This is what it is to be led in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Verse 3, and He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. My life will be a picture, a light, a symphony, a fragrance to this world around me. Who are so hungry to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, when we get to heaven, when we do, and when we stand before the Lord, and we all will, we forget these things. That's why this is called a little wake-up call. We forget these things. But He will ask us, each one of us, what did you do with what I gave you? All of us. And we've all been given much. Can we, are we willing to do something with it? It really is living out the gospel in our lives. To being a light in this world. To sharing somehow, some way with somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we're not ashamed of it. It is the power of God unto salvation for all of us. I want to give you the how-tos. And these are mine. These are personal. I'm just going to tell you how I do this. How I live this way. What happened not only with this heart transplant, but this has been my focus for a lot of years. I know where I came from. That's why Psalm chapter 40 means so much to me. It's my motivation because I know where I came from, what God did for me, and I can't help but praise Him. I can't help it. I mean, I want people to know Jesus. I want people to grow in the Lord. I want people to accomplish for the kingdom and for our King what they're called to do. And this is certainly part of it. These are mine. I'll give them to you. Number one, let the Holy Spirit develop the God setups and don't run away from them. I think all too often it's just so easy to turn away, to run away, to leave when we get an opportunity. And we get opportunities. You don't have to force your way in. God sets you up. Number two, do not judge the person. No matter what the behavior is, no matter what, we get behavior focused. Don't do that. Don't judge the person. Number three, give respect for the person. Give respect to them. Even if somebody is very obviously deep into some stuff, can you respect them? Number four, be sensitive to where they are in their understanding. Be sensitive to where they are in their understanding. All too often, we expect everybody to be where we are, even if they don't know the Lord, if they don't know Jesus. You should know these kind of things. We assume it. Don't ever assume anything. You know what that means, don't you? Don't make a blank, blank, blank out of you and me. Okay? Always be sensitive to where they are. Number five, don't be afraid to tell them the truth in love. Don't be afraid to tell them the truth in love. Number six, at a minimum, offer to pray for them. Offer to pray for them. And while you're praying, pray for others to come along into their lives who will help complement or supplement what you've done. And lastly, and here's the hard part, because this is the added extra cost. Meet with them again. If it's at all possible, meet with them again. In you and me, are the mind of Christ. We know this, right? Also are his heart. His heart. Because his life's in us. We have his heart. His hands. His feet. His mouth. And all of who he is able to come out of us and reach somebody else. All of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for allowing me just to share my heart with you today in this little wake-up call. I believe when Jesus spoke about the greater works that we're going to do, we always think about the miracles, the signs and wonders and the healings and the blessings and all that. But I believe when Jesus spoke about the greater works that we're going to do than he, ultimately, it's to reach people for his kingdom. Would you stand with me, please? Prayer team, come on up. Now here's my question. Anybody want a heart transplant besides me? Anybody? Would you keep your hands up? If you want it, because you're going to get it. Would you come on up? And then I'm going to pray. Come on up, right now. You got to want this. You don't want it. You don't have to have it. But it's going to change you. You're going to see people and grieve for them that you never dreamed. You're going to see lives changed. Doors open. God appointments. You will be the one who brings miracles into somebody else's life. You will be Jesus to people like you've never been before. And sometimes this will hurt your heart. Because the need is so great. And sometimes you'll find yourself weeping. With his heart. Would you close your eyes? Let's pray. I'm going to walk along. I'm going to start over on my right, and I'm just going to touch you and agree with you, because we know this is a done deal. This is God's heart. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, today we have made a stand. Heard your heart? We've heard you, Jesus, and we're not ashamed of the gospel. Don't know how all this is going to work, and doesn't really matter. We don't need to know. But we know you have set us up to share the gospel, to bring them in, to reach their hearts. This is your heart. And so in Jesus' name, today, Lord, Father, you have permission in our lives to give us a heart transplant for people, for the harvest, for lives. You've given us much. We say to you, we're willing. Send us. In Jesus' name.